Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The Dakota Wesleyan Band performs the world premiere of a piece written for them by South Dakota composer Jeremy Hegg. The concert is this Sunday, February 11th, 4 p.m. in the Sherman Center at DWU. Bethany Amundson is director of bands at Dakota Wesleyan University. She joins us on the phone from Mitchell. Bethany, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
And Jeremy Hegg is with us as well, musician, composer. Jeremy, welcome back too.
Thank you. Good morning, Lori.
All right, Bethany, let's start with you and give me an overview of the entire performance first and a little bit about the band program at Dakota Wesleyan.
Yeah, so this concert is called Living the Legacy, and it is featuring very contemporary works by new artists as well as familiar artists. We're, in addition to the performing the world premiere, we're also going to be featuring Mitchell Band Director Ryan Staley soloing with us on saxophone on two numbers off of the Charlie Parker with Strings album. And then we will also be joined by the White Spruce Chamber Orchestra out of Sioux Falls. They will be featured on the Urban Concerto Grosso, which is a kind of a funk, heavy metal orchestral twist on the traditional Concerto Grosso form.
Say that one more time. A funk, heavy metal Concerto Grosso form.
Yeah, funk, heavy metal kind of twist on the traditional Baroque Concerto Grosso form.
Nice.
Yeah.
Jeremy, tell me about A Higher Plane. Let's talk about this process of how it comes to be, and then the piece itself and your process.
Well, first, I found myself unable to write a funk heavy metal update.
Only so many people can.
I know. Yeah, that's kind of outside my bailiwick. This process was just as simple as there is a trust, the Glenn Colliday, the trust in at Dakota Wesleyan that commissioned the piece from me. And then it just was about meeting with Bethany and talking about what the group does well and what they're looking from me, and then writing a piece that tries to fit program and tries to fit what I'm thinking about. It's just that part, when I explain it like that, sounds kind of boring, but that's all it is. The fun comes in writing the piece.
Right.
You know,
and how broad of, how much latitude do you really have? Is there a theme given to you? Are there limitations, or do you kind of just really get to stretch yourself in whatever way that you think will fit the program and fit the group?
Well, you can kind of do whatever you like. There aren't any rules when it isn't written yet, I guess.
Right.
And so I did have some ideas, and I told the group this when I was over in Mitchell listening to them play through the work, the rehearsal last week, and I mentioned that I had a whole other idea in mind, and then I decided not to go with that idea. I'm glad that I did not go with that idea, because the resulting work was better suited for the group, I thought, but still, you go through all kinds of processes. Anybody that writes songs or writes books or writes plays or anything like that, even doing visual artwork, sometimes you go through a lot of drafts, and you have to figure out what the best fit is in time and place.
Do you save those drafts? Is everything, as similar to a writer, where you can just tuck an idea into a notebook or a sketchbook if you're a visual artist?
Sure.
And say, maybe later that.
Yeah, sometimes. Absolutely. And it might work. Some of these things might work for a later project. It just depends.
Yeah. Where did A Higher Plane come from?
Well, it came from that famous quote by George McGovern. He's he's a prominent person that has a big history in Mitchell, South Dakota, and at Dakota Wesleyan. Right. He was a student there. And the library is named after he and Eleanor. And so I just, in looking for material to write for this group, it's a smaller wind group, and so I was writing more of a thing that kind of sounds like, you know, the ballet music of Copland from the, I'm not comparing myself to Copland, by the way. It's just similar in the number of instruments because it's fewer instruments. It's not as large as, say, an 80-piece concert band or a large marching band or something like that. It's a smaller group. It's more of a chamber group. And the A Higher Plane was the ending of perhaps, I think it's probably McGovern's most famous quote.
Right.
I don't want to say the whole thing because I'll mess it up. But it was about the...
I actually have it here in front of me.
God bless you.
Yeah,
Bethany, go ahead.
So the quote is, the highest patriotism is not a blind acceptance of official policy, but a love of one's country deep enough to call her to a higher plane.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, that's really good.
That's endured for a reason, hasn't it?
Yep, it has.
And plane is not spelled P-L-A-N-E. It's spelled very conspicuously. It's spelled P-L-A-I-N. Mm-hmm. It speaks to where he's from, and it speaks to where we live and the topography of South Dakota. And so that became the name of the piece.
Bethany, how did the musicians respond to it? Because this is something that they've never heard before. It's brand new. It's it feels like a gift in some ways and a challenge in others.
Yeah, it's definitely been a gift for them. You know, the Glenn E. Soliday Estate came to me and said, hey, we want to commission a piece of music for your band. And so we've been kind of tossing this idea around since last year and working with Jeremy on it. So the band was pretty excited to receive this piece in January, but they also just didn't really know what to expect. I mean, a lot of these students are from pretty small towns in South Dakota where their band program back home had never done a world premiere piece before. So they were, you know, they were excited and they loved the piece. But they were also, you know, a little bit nervous because they realized what a gift this is and what a rare opportunity they have to be, you know, the group that performs this piece for the first time and also to have their names attached to this piece, to have Dakota Wesleyan University's name attached to it, should it go out and be performed by other groups, which I'm fairly confident that it will.
Right. So my daughter's plays bass in her high school jazz band, and they're working on a piece by Joel Schlatwell, who she's seen
that's
perform
awesome.
Before, right? And she comes home and just like, oh, that Joel Schlatwell piece, that's good stuff. And there's just something about the fact that she, you know, that connection. So Bethany, there's something about it being a Jeremy Haig piece too that sort of says, like, even if you don't know who he is, then all of a sudden there's this surprise, and it feels right, and it feels fresh and new and really relevant, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, and I've been familiar with Jeremy's music, you know, as an Augustana alumni. I played tons of his arrangements in the band there and in the brass choir. And so when the opportunity came up to have a piece written for us, I mean, Jeremy was the first person that came to mind. And when he and I met, he asked me, well, are you thinking of any sort of, you know, style or theme? And I said, I just want the piece to sound like Jeremy Haig. So
yeah, that's true. That's exactly what she said.
And Jeremy, what was your thought when she said that, you know?
Well, it was like the nicest thing anybody said about me all year. What a wonderful sentiment. So there's a couple things in my mind that mean do things that sound like me. You know, I've gotten to the point where I've written enough things that I think I know what sounds like me. So that part is, I know it sounds cliched, but really when you're starting out, sometimes you're writing things to sound like somebody else because it might work, and you're just looking for a formula that works. It's just not written down anywhere. That's the whole point of making it up. You have to write it down so that now it exists. And so sometimes it takes a while to find your voice in those things.
How do you do that?
You do it. It's just like learning Chinese. You just spend time on it. You mess up, you try to ask where the bathroom is, and they don't know, you know, because they didn't understand what you said. And then finally you learn how to do that, and then you build from there. Here's one thing about, this applies to Joel as well. When it's a local composer, that's fun because you get to meet them, but you also get the chance to realize that this isn't magic. It's a fun thing. Like, culture is great, and any expression of it and creativity in any of these art forms is wonderful. It should be encouraged all the time. But it's not magic. It's people trying to relate their own experiences, and it's just they're real people. And if you spend time on stuff, whatever it is, if you just spend time on it, you're going to get better at it. That aspect to it, too.
Bethany, talk about that aspect from the musician's point of view, because he's really right, and I hadn't thought about that before, that it's also setting the example that, you know, for these kids who might, or these, you know, college students who might be interested in a career in the arts, many aren't and will go on to do something else, but some are, and they get to sit in an example that says, you know, this isn't, something that only people who've been gone for a long time did. This is something I can do, and this is something that you can make a living and make a life at. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and the majority of the kids in my band are not music majors. I mean, there's a few that are, and a few that are music minors, and a couple that are, you know, music ed majors, and so they're looking at going into a career of teaching band music. And so it's been really powerful for them to see somebody like Jeremy, who, you know, writes this fantastic piece of music, but is also so willing to come in and work with them. He visited us on Friday and worked with the band on the piece and spent some time just talking to them and giving them creative nicknames and things like that. So it's, you know, a lot of them have stepped into my office since then and said, like, This is really fantastic.
Because
now we know that, you know, this is something that we can do. You know, either we can just enjoy music for the rest of our lives, or, you know, if we want to ever reach out and have a piece written for our group, we've seen the process, and we know that no matter where you are in the country, something like that is attainable for you.
Right. Jeremy, let's close with this, and that's just hearing it. You know, once you've gone through the composition portion of it, you get to sit at some point in the audience and take it all in. Mm-hmm. What's that moment like for you?
It has evolved over time, and I'm going to be very happy to sit on Sunday and hear the performance by Dakota Wesleyan's band. But it has evolved over time. There's a moment after you complete something where no one else in the world has heard it yet. And it's this blameless thing. It's this amazing, it's a very personal moment. And then it starts getting worked on, and people don't know how it goes yet. And it takes time to work that out. And then it's like building a house or any other project that takes time. So getting from there to the final result of the concert is always unique for each ensemble and each time that people perform a piece that's written. And keep in mind, every piece they're performing was written by somebody. You know, I mean, this is just a process. This happens all the time for all these pieces. And so
it's
fun to be a part of it, but it's just not that magical. It's just a vital part of the process. You know, I'm going to enjoy it.
But it still feels special.
It can be magical, not in that way, that it's something that you can't do as well. Right. You know, that's all I would say.
Jeremy Haig, composer, musician, Bethany Amundson, director of bands at Dakota Wesleyan University. The concert this Sunday, February 11th, 4 p.m. in the Sherman Center at DWU. Thank you, Bethany and Jeremy, for being here with us today. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. You.